Amen. Wanda, would you read John chapter 13, verse 34?
A new commandment. Hello. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another.
You know, as I was reading that and thinking about it, praying about it, you know, if the essence of Christian community is found in Jesus' commandment to love one another, where is it more likely to be displayed than in the intimacy of the marriage covenant? You know, in reality, if you think about it, you really think about it, marriage is our best living evangelistic billboard. And in reality, I think about it, it could be really maybe the only one that God ever actually commissioned. In other words, when we love one another, and I'm not saying you all, I mean, it's beyond marriage because that's just an example. Marriage is an example of it, but it gives us, you know, as we're, you really think about marriage, it's the real test. It's the real test, but you know, it's, if we love one another as he loved us, and we exhibit that, and I know we can exhibit it beyond marriage, but we get a better chance in marriage because, you know, things can go wrong. You know, sometimes we grate on each other. Amen? But when we love one another as he's loved us, we care for one another. We're going to study some of the different aspects of love and what goes on. It's just awesome. You know, I think that God designed it that way on purpose. Because in reality, my spouse knows me better than anybody else. It's gloriously terrifying. And we're going to see some of those gloriously terrifying things. But the Hebrew word for love, which the Greek word for love that Jesus is talking about here, is agape. It comes from the Hebrew word for love is ahav, A-H-A-V. And agape is fashioned from the Hebrew concept of love. In reality, there's no truly Greek definition of agape. The definition comes from the way the word is in the Hebrew text. And most of us have no idea what the Hebrew context really is. But we need to find out. We need to find out. I know some of you do because you've heard me preach on it before and you've studied it yourself. But we need to find out if we're going to fulfill this commandment to love one another as he loved us. And Jesus is talking about loving your enemies. Ooh. Loving your enemies. But Jesus didn't use the word agape since he spoke Hebrew, not Greek. And like I said, in the Hebrew, the word is ahav. And it's one of three verbs that are express love. And love one another, we realize that this love is a relationship with another. The love Jesus is talking about is a relationship with another person. Not love of things, but love between people. And when we dig into the Hebrew background, we find a host of expressions that provide the context, the content of this kind of love. Every one of them has an application in marriage as well as life. It's cleaving to someone, running after someone, seeking someone. I want you to remember, Jesus said to love your enemies as yourself. Cleaving to someone, running after someone, seeking someone, continuing in faithfulness towards someone. I mean, it takes faithfulness to keep praying for your enemy. Amen. I'm not saying you go along with him. I'm not saying you agree with everything he's doing, but you're praying for him. Yearning to be near someone, being knit to the soul of someone, occupied with affectionate desire for someone, honoring someone. This is ahav. This is life and being united with someone. All of these things are part of ahav, part of love, the Hebrew definition of love. That's the reason why we can say that the redeemed marriage is the billboard announcement of my divine encounter. And if we're going to live by this new commandment, we will have to return. And I think we need to read it every now and then. We need to go back to Genesis, the second chapter, and read how God set up the earth. What he did was making Adam and Eve, how he did those things. It's an assignment. Go back and read it every now and then. Genesis, the second chapter. You know, we will have to see that loving one another starts with the person God has chosen to be closest to us. You know, these nine things that I just talked about, love, if they don't apply, if they're not part of relationship, we cannot claim to love one another. What excuse will we offer to Jesus when he asks us how we handled our most intimate relationship? Love one another. One word does not say it all. You know, it's easy to say, love one another. And then we just say, love one another. So we're just going on, you know. In our society, almost everything that we describe by the verb love is based on Greek concepts. Our possessive desires, I love that dress. Our infatuations, you know, men, I love fast cars. I love big boats. That's what a lot of the men do down here is love their boats. Our quest for gratification, I love being rich. Our passionate fixations, I love my job. How many times do we say, I love my job? I love that. I love doing that. Amen? Even our identification with relationships. I love you. And basically, most of the time, it is an expression of either eros love, and we're going to study that a little bit, or phileo love. Those are the two rock bottom pillars of the Greek worldview, eros and phileo. Eros is not, we've got the connotation that eros means exotic love. It includes erotic sexual attraction, but it's not really about the desire. It's about the desire to possess. Eros love is about possessing. It is love that seeks its own to take and to use. This is not always a bad thing. After all, I love wisdom. And I love beauty. I love good things. You know, that I want to take them. I want to be there. But as an expression of possession, this kind of love is focused on me. It's all about me. We are a me society. Not this group, I know that, but. But our society as a whole is all about what's good for me. What's good for me? I'm the beneficiary of the action. Even if it involves consensual relationship with another. Eros is fickle. It's a fickle partner. Because Eros makes its bed in my heart. And I can't be trusted. What did Jeremiah 17:9 say? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, don't just believe me, but ask yourself, how many infatuations have you experienced? Not with just about other people, but what about other things? How many possessions have you passed through? Or how many daydreams have ended up in nightmares? Eros is the seductive hope of a better self projected onto something outside of me. Remember that Eros is love that seeks his own. And then the other definition of love, the Greek definition is phileo. We'll see a lot of shortcomings in that. It's brotherly affection. It's important. It's very rarely used to describe love of God. The word phileo, love, is very rarely used for saying the love of God. Love of God is most consistently described with agape. Phileo pictures the love I have for those who like me. Do you realize? It's easy to say I love you, love all of y'all. I mean, we can be in a, if people like you, it's easy to say that, amen? But when people hate you, how hard is it? It's kind of hard to say I love you. Unless we got the concept of agape love. It's brotherly in the sense that I share a common bond. Today we might say, I really like you, and mean that you and I have a lot in common. It's the kind of love that belongs to matchmaking according to areas of compatibility. But things change. Why do you think, why do you think that in the biblical times, marriages were arranged by parents? And you made a covenant, and then you fell in love. Agape love. You came to know that person. You came to live with that person. You came to do in spite of yourself. You know, in counseling, marriage counseling, and people come and they want to, well, marriage counseling, I said there's only one way. I'm not going to counsel you any other way than what this thing, what the word says. If you made a covenant, you've got to agree to stick it out. And through lots of prayer, things are going to work. Amen? And if you go through that, things work out. But phileo love is the deal. I really like you. What we do, but remember that phileo love is not just about, we have areas of compatibility because things change. What we like today is not what we liked 10 years ago. We need to think of the things 10 years ago that we really liked and wanted to do and blah, blah, blah. And what about now? That's why phileo friends drift apart. They don't have that stick-to covenant. They don't have that covenant, but that agape covenant. I'm going to do it. I'm going to stick with you. That's the reason why what happens to phileo-based marriages. Phileo might be a step away from self-enchantment of eros, ego, but is not strong enough to produce the love that lasts forever. So if we want to understand how agape really differs from eros and phileo, we need only to consider one statement from Jesus. Love your enemies. That's tough. Amen? When it comes to enemies, eros and phileo, they don't work. I simply cannot love those I hate and those who would keep me from being what I wish to be if all I have is eros and phileo. I can't do that. That's why in the Greek religion, it could never deliver on the concepts of forgiveness and redemption. Just think about it. God loves you with agape love. He loves you when you hated him, when you did everything against him, and he still loved you. Praise God. Amen. Still loves you. But the Greek religion could not deliver on the concepts of forgiveness and redemption. The gods, the Greek gods, couldn't be permanently placid because they were never on our side. So we need to ask ourselves, what can we take away from this examination? Who is my enemy? You know, the paradox, and every time I say the word paradox, I have to jiggle my brain to remember what it really is. It's a seemingly contradiction or opposed to common sense and yet perhaps true. But the paradox of life is that my perfect enemy is the one given to me in marriage. Huh? What did you say?
Explain.
I'm going to. You ought to see all these couples back here. Yeah, what? That person is uniquely placed to prevent me from wasting my life on Eros and Phileo. That person knows my victories. Not, you know, this is not just husband to wife. This is wives to husband. It's both ways. But the person knows my victories. And they know my failures. My ego excuses. You know, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I can come up with some good excuses for what I do. Huh? Yeah, most of them anyway. You know, my deflations, my hopes, and my fears. There's no other person on earth better equipped to slap away one's blind desires to possess. I want to go do this. I want to go do this business. I want to go do that. You ain't got no business doing that. It won't work. And this goes back and forth. Amen? God puts you with somebody that's going to help and correct you. Not just the wife to the husband, but the husband to the wife. I mean, it works both ways. There's no other person on earth better positioned to prevent me from surrounding myself with like-minded admirers. Just think about that. We always want to go around with the like-minded, and women are just worse or just as bad as men. I mean, all they want to do is run around with friends that just like what they like. Amen? I want to run around with just people that just like what I like, amen? But sometimes that's not exactly who we need to be with. Amen? We need others. Our spouses are the perfectly designed grinding wheel to smooth all of our rough edges away, even when it hurts. That's the reason you make a covenant, amen? That's the reason we walk in covenant relationship with one another. That's the reason Jesus says, love one another as I've loved you. And then he said, love your enemies. Amen. I mean, it's something to really think about. If we're going to be the billboard for everybody to see and see Jesus in us, amen? That's what we want, isn't it? To see Jesus in us. I'm asking the question, are we beginning to understand the context of agape? Agape love is displayed, seen by loving the one who has the greatest power to harm and the greatest potential to heal. So, you know, why does marriage model my relationship with God? It says all in the Bible, marriage is a relation, is a modeled relationship of God. Because it's God's intention to turn perfect enemies into perfect united lovers. God does it. And we thought we did it. Didn't we? But it's God that does it. This is what he did with us. He loved us while we hated him. Amen? He loved us while we did bad things to him. And this is what we're supposed to do to others. Amen? Praise God. Praise God that God is working in each one of us. He's working in us to come to be like him, to be like Jesus. You know, Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. I mean, that took some deal. You know, when I say I have to love my enemy, you know, I'm talking about out in the world, it's a kind of a rough deal. But don't forget, love is going to speak the truth. If my wife loves me, she's going to tell me the truth, even when I don't like it. Amen? Vice versa, you know, it works both ways. I mean, you know, we're going to, if we love our spouses love us, they're going to tell us the truth. In love, even when it hurts. I'm going to tell my kids things to do because I love them, even when they think it's going to hurt them. And it sometimes when we have to do those things, especially to our kids, you know, our kids are, they can get by with more stuff than yeah, I know that, huh? They can get by with things because you love them. You think you love them so much. But if you really love them, agape love them, you're going to have them do what they're supposed to do. Amen? Even if it hurts them. Even if they think it hurts. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that, Lord, you're working in each one of our lives to bring us to the place that we walk and talk in agape love. Love that is for someone else, not just for me. And we thank you for that, and we magnify you, and we glorify you. Thank you, Lord, that we are learning and we are walking in the commandment that Jesus said, to love one another as I have loved you, and to love our enemies. And we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.